Hello and welcome to the South Carolina Lead. You trust the lead to keep you up to date on important state news, and we've been doing that more often as our state faces the COVID-19 virus. I'm your host, Gavin Jackson, and this episode was recorded on October 19th, 2020, from my home office here in Columbia. Just so you know, some of the information in this podcast may have changed by the time you've heard it. This podcast cuts through the noise and gives you South Carolina-specific COVID-19 news and stories. This episode features a look at two new grant programs to help businesses dealing with economic impacts of the pandemic. We hear more about the economic headwinds affecting one of our state's top industries and how real estate is hot, hot, hot for out-of-state buyers. And the CDC director was recently in town. He discusses the state's pandemic response and secondary effects from it. Additionally, we want to hear your stories, so we set up a voicemail box to hear from y'all about your daily life in these uncertain times. Leave us a 1 to 3 minute long voicemail at 803-563-7169. Leave us your name, a message, and where you're calling from. We want to know what's going on with you, if you voted early, if you're dealing with unemployment insurance, just what life is like. We're 2 weeks away from the election. How you feeling? Let us know. 803-563-7169. Now for the latest in South Carolina. Currently, the spread of COVID-19 is ongoing, widespread, and not contained, according to Department of Health and Environmental Control data. There have been 3,449 deaths, and currently there are 157,970 cases. Now that's 94 deaths and 5,728 new cases from October 12th to October 19th. So just a little comparison there. Our current percent positive rate is 11.3%, and there are 697 patients hospitalized with COVID-19. 182 are in intensive care, and 92 are on ventilators. This data is current as of October 19th at 4 p.m. I want to lead off our politics section by telling you that the final Senate debate between Senator Lindsey Graham and Jamie Harrison, which was set to air Wednesday evening, October 21st, has been canceled due to scheduling issues around the confirmation vote of Amy Coney Barrett. SCETV and the campaigns are working to get the debate rescheduled, but with a jam-packed 2 weeks to go into Election Day, well, don't hold your breath, folks. We'll see what we can do. Moving on. There are two new grant programs for minority and small business owners, as well as nonprofits for financial reimbursement for COVID-19 related financial or operational impacts. Late last week, Governor Henry McMaster announced the grant programs approved by the legislature and funded by federal CARES Act dollars. The Minority and Small Business Relief Grant Program will reimburse qualified recipients from $2,500 to $25,000. Now, to qualify, minority and small businesses must employ 25 or fewer employees and be physically located in the state. The Nonprofit Relief Grant Program will reimburse qualified recipients from $2,500 to $50,000. To qualify, nonprofits must be designated as a 501c3 nonprofit organization by the IRS. They have to be registered as a public charity in the state and be physically located here. Here's some more information from the governor.
The federal programs that have been implemented by the Department of Employment and Workforce and through the Department of Administration, there are a lot of small businesses, minority businesses, as well as some nonprofits who have not been able to access any help. So this program is aimed at them. And the legislature has wisely set aside and provided $40 million for small and minority businesses and another $25 million for nonprofits. And you have to do it online, and the deadline is short. You have to be done by November the 1st, and it's going to launch on the 19th, which is coming up, so there's a short window for these small businesses. If you have not accessed it before, sometimes even if you have, get ready because it's coming. And this may be the last chance that we'll have to do this.
Marcia Adams, the director of the Department of Administration, provided more details.
Well, they should have been in operation as of 6 months prior to the governor's emergency order, which would be September 13th, 2019, have 25 or fewer employees, be physically located in South Carolina, show some type of proof of registration as a business, and there's different options for that, and not have delinquent property taxes and judgments for a 2018 year prior. We encourage those businesses to look into this program and to apply. Beyond that, there are some priorities for these grant funds as laid out in Act 154. And not that these businesses that I just mentioned can apply, but per the law, priority is going to be given to minority businesses, to applicants, as the governor mentioned, to applicants who have not received any other federal funding to address COVID-19 issues, such as the Paycheck Protection Program, businesses with 15 or fewer employees, and businesses that demonstrate the greatest financial need. The law also establishes a panel comprised of the Commission on Minority Affairs, the Department of Revenue, and the Department of Commerce to evaluate those applications.
The online application process runs through Sunday, November 1st. You can find a full list of requirements on accelerate.sc.gov. And for help with the application process, contact the SC Cares Call Center at 803-670-5170. Also, be on the lookout for this week's Trail Bite on Thursday. We'll be recapping the latest in the Senate and 1st Congressional District races, as well as the 2nd Congressional District debate that's taking place Tuesday evening between Republican Joe Wilson and Democrat Adair Ford Burroughs. You can watch that on WIS Online. Let's do some numbers. Laura Dawson is a regional economist with the Richmond Federal Reserve Bank. Her job is to go out and talk to businesses from the biggest corporations down to sole proprietorships, nonprofits, and governments located in North and South Carolina to get a pulse on the economy. And yes, there is still plenty of a pulse out there. There are now more employees working from home, which is making the state more attractive, though for those in the hospitality industry, it remains a difficult time. Dawson presented during the Board of Economic Advisors meeting last week and takes a deep look at unemployment in the leisure and hospitality industry, one of our state's largest industries.
And you can see that employment in South Carolina really has improved across sectors. The only sector where it is really significantly below where it was last year is leisure and hospitality. And this, of course, is a very important sector for the state of South Carolina. But I think this does show that many of these job losses are indeed contained within that one sector. And this next chart shows a similar picture. This shows the employment change in thousands of jobs between February and August. And so once again, you can see that we'll have 66,000 jobs. And as of right now, we still haven't recovered many of those. So we still are down about over 65,000 jobs in leisure and hospitality. Some significant losses in other areas too, right? It's not just leisure and hospitality. Education and health services, remember, this doesn't include any public education or public health services. This is private, but pretty significant losses there and also in trade, transportation, utilities. But still, leisure and hospitality is by far the worst. I think this is a good sign because we could have policies that directly impact that sector. You know, this is not as broad-based of a job loss as we might expect in a normal recession, right? This really, because of the pandemic and because of the unprecedented nature of it, the job losses are unprecedentedly biased towards leisure and hospitality as well.
Laura also discussed what's going on with the future of the workplace in the migration south.
Most employees in large metro areas that work for large businesses are still working remotely. I don't know if Mark is always working remotely now, but I think most of Wells Fargo is, if not all of them. We still are at the Federal Reserve. You know, big companies typically have not gone back to in-person yet. And many of these people believe that they're going to have the opportunity to work remotely going forward. Companies that have tried to bring people back have only been moderately successful. So I've talked to, again, many companies that large companies that tried to bring back 50% of their employees, but made it voluntary and only 25% came back or 20%. I've also talked to companies who brought everybody back and then there was an outbreak of COVID or family members that had COVID within the office and they sent everybody home again. So the movement back to the office, I would say, has been moderately successful. Large office towers are really the main issue, and it's for two reasons, elevators and public transportation. I met with a company last week who fills up a 27-story building, And they told me they did analysis of how long it would take people to get everyone in the building and out of the building during the day using their elevators in a socially distanced way. And the result was 15 and a half hours. So it just is not plausible for them right now. So big cities are having a really hard time with this. Realtors and developers are reporting all over the place in South Carolina selling houses sight unseen. I mean, I heard from multiple people on the coast that they sold very expensive homes sight unseen to people from the Northeast who just wanted to get out. So there's lots of these stories, including some real movement. Actually, in the past couple weeks, I've heard this from several people that there are companies in California, tech companies, paying employees to leave the state. So giving them $20,000 bonuses, for example, to leave the state. And then when they leave, they're adjusting their pay. So, for example, they're saying, we're probably not going to bring people back. If you want to leave the Bay Area and move to Greenville, South Carolina, that's great. We'll pay you $20,000 now, and then we're going to adjust your pay to the cost of living for Greenville, South Carolina. All of this movement, I think, you know, it'll be yet to be seen exactly how many companies and how many employees are actually going to move, but I think a good many will. I mean, that's reasonable to think there will be some movement, and there are a lot of places in South Carolina that will look highly attractive for this.
Now, this is something we've been hearing about and talking about on this podcast for some time now, so it was really interesting to hear that perspective from Laura. Speaking of decentralizing the workplace, I just read a Seattle Times piece about how Boeing officials are looking to possibly sell their commercial airplanes headquarters in Washington State. Commercial Airplanes CEO Stan Deal said he wants himself and his team to be, quote, closer to where the products are being built, quote. The Times reported that in a memo to managers, Boeing tried to counter any notion that a leadership with no fixed headquarters might put South Carolina on equal footing with Washington State, and said Commercial Airplanes leadership will remain in the Puget Sound region. Deal regularly travels to South Carolina once a month. Probably the only time he gets to see the sun when he's not on a plane. You know, Washington State, overcast, rain, expensive. Dr. Robert Redfield, the director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, was the latest federal official to visit Columbia to speak about the state's response to the pandemic, which he applauded. DHEC held a roundtable with him, the governor, USC President Bob Caslin, and public health officials last week. Redfield discussed the state's response and subsequent problems as a result of the pandemic, including substance abuse.
We think we're seeing, you know, the surge that we're seeing now. It's not a surge that we had hoped was just a small surge post Labor Day, but clearly we're in an expanding phase. We had, I think, over 62,000 cases. Is that right? 62,000 cases? Right around 60,000 cases today. And we have now 68% of the jurisdictions in the upward trajectory. We think a lot of that is also driven by individuals in the north now going inside for warm weather, less ventilation. So we're having significant transmission now in Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, North Dakota, Wisconsin, Minnesota. A lot of that you wouldn't think about. Nebraska, and then coming across the Midwest. So weather has a role, but weather's not going to protect us. What is going to protect us, and the governor said this clearly at the beginning, we are not defenseless against this virus. We have a powerful weapon. It's called a face mask. And that face mask, if all of us wore it for 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 weeks, we would begin to really contain and control this pandemic. If we coupled that with the wisdom about hand washing, the wisdom about avoiding crowds, the wisdom about smart decisions about certain environments that may not be in the best interest of containing this virus, and that's why one has to think it through. And of course, I really plead with people to take advantage of vaccinating with the flu vaccine with confidence. Not that that's going to prevent coronavirus, but that may keep people from having to be hospitalized from influenza.
Sarah Goldsby, the director of the Department of Alcohol and Other Drug Abuse Services, DAOTAS, spoke about those collateral impacts that we've seen as a result of the pandemic.
We recognize that we've seen an increase in the alcohol and substance use in our citizens in South Carolina, and that may have long-term impact as substance use disorders are chronic, you know, treatable diseases. And so we've been innovative in how we've taken new prevention and intervention steps on those diseases, and we have a long way to go, but we want, you know, to give the public the message that help is available and hope is available. We say social isolation, but the key to this is staying connected.
Dr. Redfield spoke of his own son who is in recovery and what needs to be done to destigmatize addiction.
So one thing we can do is create the climate that realizes that stigma is the enemy of public health. And we stigmatize people in very subtle ways. I was talking earlier about one of the subtle ways that we do, even in the medical community, and this is not a criticism of my colleagues that spend their livelihood treating people, but I think the fact that we move addiction medicine away from primary medical care. Oh, you have addiction, you need to go see a psychiatrist. You need addiction, you need to go to this drug treatment center. For many people, that's stigmatizing. And we need to renormalize addiction treatment and for what it is, a chronic relapsing medical condition. We don't criticize people when their cancer relapses or when their angina and heart disease relapses. But when I've watched what happens to people that successfully get through drug treatment and go into remission and then relapse, I all too often see a sense of disappointment, a sense of how did that happen? You know, why did you let that happen? Rather than what it should be, that this is a chronic relapsing medical condition. And we all pray, and I said my son's 5 years in recovery. I pray that he's in recovery the rest of his life.
Dr. Redfield said testing, especially asymptomatic testing, is a critical part of getting a handle on the COVID-19 pandemic. There is an abundance of testing locations throughout the state that are free. You can find those on DHEC's website, scdhec.gov. And just so you know, I get tested about once every 2 weeks just to make sure all is well, and I'd encourage you to get regularly tested too. Welcome to our wind down section, our little break from the news. We talk about life during the pandemic and want to hear your stories as well. We want to know how you're handling things, if you've contracted COVID-19, how often you're getting tested, if you're working through the unemployment system, or if you're giving back to your community or know someone who is. Tell us at 803-563-7169. Just leave us a message with your name, where you're calling from, and a message no longer than 3 minutes at 803-563-7169. And AT, do we have any new calls?
We do. This is from a repeat caller. We are not supposed to thank him ever, but
oh, yeah.
I am thankful that he keeps calling in. So let's roll it.
Yes. Thanks, but no thanks. Roll ahead.
What's up, guys? This is your friendly neighborhood grocery worker. Been a long time. Oh, man, things get to you. You don't feel like making phone calls. You don't feel like checking in with your internet radio show pals. Just wanted to give you guys an update from the grocery world. People are still packing in. People are still being smart and wearing masks 99% of the time. And I would actually like to reveal my location just because I'm very happy and proud to have a company that has not wavered in the fact of asking people to wear masks and controlling the size of people in our stores, at least in the city of Columbia. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to take where I work. But you guys can probably guess by now, or you can, you know, do a little guessing contest right now if you will. But I'm up here again for a small bit of time in the great Northeast, enjoying an actual fall. The leaves are changing. The leaves are falling. Taking care of my grandmother for a little bit. She's had a couple back steps, but she's doing good. And would just like to also commend the state of Massachusetts because they have really just adopted the things that need to happen. People wear masks. Stores make people wear masks. People are social distancing. People are getting outside and still enjoying themselves a little bit in the outdoors, but they're being smart about it. And just want to give everybody a little bit of encouragement. Everything sucks right now. It still sucks, For all you people who like sports, there's no sports. For all you people who like music, there's no live music. People like me who like to isolate and go walking and riding bikes out in the woods, nothing's really changed. We still do the same thing because that's kind of our MO anyway. Hopefully I have this hope that people are going to get smart and things are going to change here in a couple weeks with all hopes and with all these lovely people getting out and voting and making themselves heard, and that we'll be having a chance to get away from all this. Anyway, I hope you guys are doing good. Hope you guys are staying safe. Y'all have a great day.
Yeah, we know how it goes, having a hard time checking in with people and keeping up on that. We appreciate you doing it, though. It was so suspenseful right there, almost hearing about the mystery grocery location. Mystery shopper. We got to go mystery shopping.
Where do you think it
now.
Is, Gavin? Where do you think it is?
Well, I mean, he was talking about how, they limit and they keep up on all these protocols more so. And, you know, I go to Costco, I go to Publix, I go to Aldi, and I don't see much of that. You know, they don't like regulate who's in and who's out, and they're not that hard about those things, but everyone does keep their masks on in those locations. So
I need a guess.
I wanted to go with Publix just because I'm right around the corner from it, you know, but you know, they do a pretty good job at Costco.
Proximity bias right there.
They do a pretty good job at Costco.
I'm going to guess Food Lion. I'm just going to say it. You know what? Wow. I'm going to say it. I don't care. Food Lion. Yeah.
Doesn't enter my orbit because I just don't.
I don't go to Food Lion either. I'm just guessing.
I'm going to say Costco.
Just guessing. Yeah,
even though
it's
they don't
Costco.
Limit the people.
You sound ridiculous.
Well, yeah, it's not a grocery store, but it is to me.
I take some particular umbrage. He says there's no sports. There are sports. The Eagles did terrible yesterday, and they caused me to scream into the unfeeling cosmic void.
Isn't this like every week? Like, yeah, do we have to hear about this every week?
Well, the only reason I really bring it up is because I saw a lot of tweets because it was the first game that Eagles allowed fans in the stadium, and it wasn't even a lot. The stadium holds 68,000 people. They had 5,500 fans, and two Eagles fans got in a fight. So, I mean, nature is healing.
All is well in the world.
All is well in the world. But, Gavin, you have some viral news. Yeah?
Yes. We're talking about the Fleetwood Mac and how Rumors has returned to the top 10 on the Billboard 200 this week.
Yes.
Boom, 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 boom. You can thank our man, Nathan Epcot.
The skateboarding cranberry juice guy. The skateboarding cranberry juice guy. Yeah. He did a great job. I'm trying to pronounce his name.
But yeah, they made Dreams viral. You know, everyone's like, oh my. Like, I don't get these people that don't understand, don't have classic rock, at least a little bit of. Have you you hear Dreams in the grocery store, probably plays at Homeboy's grocery store all the time. I mean, like.
I don't know.
Oh, I mean, this is like adult contemporary rock that's just always in the background.
I don't love it. I mean,
I'm not saying it to love it. I'm just saying people that are just discovering it for the first time. I'm like, y'all don't go out and hear random music and backgrounds at stores?
Bro, yeah, no. Kids these days. Hashtag kids these days. They don't know.
Well, their parents are also failing them too. So, you know, I know I'm going to get support from our leaders out there when I say parents failing their kids not listening to Fleetwood Mac. I mean, come on.
What's your favorite Fleetwood Mac song?
You know, I'm like Sarah Palin. I like how she said about newspapers, all of them.
You read all Fleetwood Mac songs?
Yes. No. What is this? Some sort of gotcha journalism? You media elite?
Can you see Stevie Nicks from your backyard?
Yeah. See, and this is what's wrong with the media.
This is what they're twisting my words. I don't love my words. I don't love Fleetwood Mac. I know our great friend, Jamie Lovegrove is obsessed.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he stands real hard. I don't love them. I don't like Stevie Nicks' warble, her voice. I told you it like goes like, like that.
Beautiful.
Like that Halloween toy that we had as kids that hung and went, hey.
We had a witch that did that. And she's still alive. My mom sent me a video of her. I'm like, that witch sold her soul a long time ago to still be alive.
You hang it on a doorknob, and when you close the door, it does the sound. But
spooky.
Yeah, I mean, that's what Stevie Nicks always has sounded like to me. And
100%.
I mean, you can have it. I'll let you have it.
People have it. Yeah, she just had a new song come out, too. Not so
warbly.
Who cares? Who cares?
I really don't.
And I was thinking the other day, kind of like separate from all this, but just about Rolling Stone magazine, because I'm thinking like, you know, talking about the charts and all that stuff. And like, does anyone even read Rolling Stone anymore? I'm like, remember like the covers used to be a big deal? I mean, I remember reading in high school a lot, but I mean, what's going on with Rolling Stone? I can't remember the last time I read something in Rolling Stone.
I don't know. I I feel like Rolling Stone is out of touch with actually what's going on in the world anyway now, you know, mm-hmm. like they release, I know for a fact that as a guitar player, as a metal fan, right, they yeah. release all these lists all the time of like the best guitarists of all time and mm-hmm. the best yeah, heavy right. metal bands of all time. And they so don't know what they're talking about. I don't really know what they do know. I mean, this is me soapboxing about death metal, but like no one wants to hear that. I get that.
I still read Spin Magazine, even though it's out of print.
yeah, I have every back issue of Spin Magazine, and they did quite a deep dive on Beck in 1996 that I think everyone should read.
I just think people don't know enough about it.
Did you know Beck is a Scientologist? He's a Scientologist.
Is he really?
Yes. Oh. He's a Scientologist.
Well, you know, we don't take too many stances on our podcast, but
L. Ron was wrong.
L. Ron. I have an L. Ron Hubbard book up here, you know, back when he used to write real fiction. The name of the book that I have is Barnyard Outlaw.
Hell yeah. Okay.
I think it was a white elephant present for one Christmas.
I would love to get a Dianetics. I would love to get my hands on a Dianetics.
Literally.
I'm not joking at all. And Gavin knows this. I would love, if you're listening and you have a copy of Dianetics, please send it to the lead. I
care of.
Care of, yes. AT's conspiracy theory bargain basement bin.
Oh, yeah. That sounds great. And I also
have one more big piece of news that 8chan and 8kun, they got deplatformed and shut down. So there's no more news
from Q?
QAnon. There's no more platform for QAnon. So
oh, geez. I guess
very,
we're just gonna
very happy about that.
I guess we're just gonna have to like cook our own meth and come up with conspiracy theories to fill the void there.
I feel like that's what Facebook is already doing, so we're doing great.
Thank you, Facebook. Oh, yes. Big tech is trying to censor our words. Yeah, I had something I wanted to talk about, but I've just been really busy. I think I drove 1,000 miles across our beautiful state last week, from the upstate to the low country to the PD to the Midlands.
It to the beautiful. Upstate, to the low country, upstate, to the PD, to the Midlands, to the upstate, to the low country, to the PD, to yeah. the Midlands.
It was, that's the song for the state. It was.
You're yeah. dead inside. Yes.
I am. And once I finish this, I have more work to do. So
take it away, you soulless ghoul.
Thanks for listening to the pod, y'all. Show us your appreciation by leaving us a review on iTunes or a voicemail at 803-563-7169. You can stay up to date with the latest news on SCETV.org and SouthCarolinaPublicRadio.org. And don't forget to support your local newspapers. Also, consider becoming an ETV member. Give to the No Pledge Drive Pledge Drive. It's going on right now on SouthCarolinaPublicRadio.org. Check it out. Membership starts at just $40. And if you pledge at the $75 level, you get access to PBS Passport and all the great programming your donation helps support. For the South Carolina Lead, I'm Gavin Jackson. Be well, South Carolina. Bird noises.
Bird noises.
Bird migration. Thank you. Migratory.
We're talking about birds.
Hawks.
We're talking hawks. We're talking pheasants.
That's right, baby.
We got ornithology. Pheasants, baby. We're talking. Did you know they're dinosaurs? Because they're dinosaurs.
They're dinosaurs. Oh, I'm going to throw up.